In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 24, 4, 6, 1928, and this is the second paragraph. Jesus says to Louisa, as the kingdom of redemption was formed over the years, he says, so I shall do now with the kingdom of my divine will. I, Jesus, shall start from the first lessons that I have given you, and this is why I want that they begin to be known. So you're beginning to know this. And again, what Jesus is expecting of us is that we dive into this infinite ocean every day. It's that you read it once. And I remember somebody said, I said, read the 36 volumes, and came back after a couple of months. I read all 36. Now what do? And I go like, oh, now you got to study it and I got to put it into practice. So I shall do it for the form of the kingdom. I shall start from the first lessons that I've given you. And this is why that they begin to be known. Who's it to known? By us. A lot of people say, you got to read the volumes, got to read the volumes. And they go, thank you, but no, thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you. Jesus is saying, if you got the book, you read them. You know these. This is your job. So that they may make their way preparing and disposing not only your soul, but it's changing your family. As you read, your family is changing. Your neighborhood is changing. Your nation is changing. The world is changing as we read. So that little by little, again, this is our hope, little by little, God is doing this. They may learn to listen to more lessons, little by little, in view of the great good that they have received from the first ones. So in each and every one of our lives, Jesus is speaking to us. And see, somebody says, well, what do you read? Where do you begin? Ask Jesus. You know, if you've never read the writings, start with volume 11, because it will help you hear things that the saints only dreamed of. And then go back and read volume 1 through volume 10, learn it, study it, put it into practice, and then read again volume 11 and go then continue all the way to the end. Once you get through all that, then read the book of heaven. Excuse me. Then read the calendar. And listen to Jesus every day. If you've studied it, I know a number of people have gone through it, you know, through two or three, four times before they start the calendar, because they've went through the whole thing little by little, studying. And now when Jesus teaches each day that he teaches us in the calendar, it's more beautiful than ever. It really, really is. So Jesus is asking us to, little by little, yearn to listen to the lessons, little by little, view the great good that we have received from the beginning. Our Archbishop Vigano said that, you know, for most people, start out with the 24 hours of the Passion, then read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, and Lent is a good time to do the 24 hours of the Passion. So volume 24, 6, 12, 19, 28. All the acts of Adam, internal and external, were many musical keys that formed the most beautiful melodies, the sweet melodious harmonious that maintain this is the joy of the marriage. So he says right from the beginning, he married Adam. I want man to be in my image and likeness, God says in scripture. So all the acts were internal and external. Well, again, what we've learned from the saints is the exterior life of the holy humanity of Jesus. And now Jesus is teaching us the interior life that he and his mother had, which they gave to Louisa. And he says, these are beautiful, beautiful keys, melodies, harmonious music that, what does it do? It maintains the joy of the wedding feast, the joy of the marriage between God and man. So you're going to spend eternity with God. So it's important that you begin to spend the eternity with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Learn to hear his voice with your heart, not with your ears. Learn to hear his voice as you're praying. The Holy Spirit is always telling us. Now, there are three voices. There's your own voice, which is doubt, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. That's our voice. Then there's the devil's voice, is doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, wailing and that grinding of teeth, because that's where he's going. And then there's God's voice, the angel's voice, peace, joy, and happiness, joy of marriage, the oneness to be with God. So each additional round that Adam would dispose himself to do was a new little sonata that he would prepare to call his spouse, to delight with his spouse. Jesus is our spouse. That's what he says. He says to Louisa, "You're my spouse. I have come to earth to find a bride." And all souls are feminine. So Jesus comes to the man as our spouse. I remember this one woman, this one nun said to me, "You know, you look at Christ on the cross. How does a man love Jesus?" I said, "He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Master. He's my King. He's my all. He's my everything." I mean, it's to fall in love with God is different than falling in love with a human. God is pure love. I mean, how can you not fall in love with our God? He's inviting us to the wedding feast. 5:24, 8:2, 19:29. "My daughter, the will of God that the writings of my divine will come to light is absolute." The writings of my divine will are going to come to light is an absolute. "And as many incidents that may have occurred, it shall triumph over everything." It's good. This is a divine decree. As creation was a divine decree, redemption was a divine decree. Now sanctification is a divine decree. It's going to triumph over everything. Nothing's going to get in its way. Right now, there's a lot of blocks. No big deal. Jesus says there will be many incidents that are going to occur, but nothing is going to stop this absolutely right of the divine will to come to us. He says, "It shall know how to dispose everything so that its absolute will be fulfilled. The time in which they shall come to light is relative and conditional upon the soul who's disposed themselves to receive such a great good." This is what we're saying, "Lord, you're giving me the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies. Lord, I am not worthy." It's you're doing this because you've saved the best for last. John Paul II would say that we're in the final days. He said, "I'm saying we're in the final days, not because it's the final days, it's because," he says, "Paul said it was the final days 2,000 years ago," and then he says, "We are in the end of time." He goes, and he would chuckle because that's where we are. That's why everything's falling apart. Everything that the evil one has hands on is falling apart. He says, "You must dispose yourself to receive a good so great upon those who must occupy themselves with being its criers," that's the priests, "and make the sacrifice so as to bring the new era of peace, the new sun, the new heavens, the new earth, that shall dispel all the clouds of evil." They're going to be gone. Evil's going to be gone. "If you knew how many graces, how many lights I, Jesus, have prepared for those souls whom I see disposed to occupy themselves with the writings." Are you occupying yourself with the writings? Is this part of your life? "How many graces and lights I'm giving to you," Jesus says. "They shall be the first to feel the balm, first to feel the light, first to feel the life of my fiat reigning in them." Then he says, "Look at me, how I have prepared in my hands the clothes, the food, the ornaments, the gifts for all those who must occupy themselves with them." It's he says to Louisa over and over and over again, "I'm going to clothe my children in royal garments of light." Because They belong, they are truly sons and daughters of the great king. So he says, but I am, he uses his name as God, I am looking to see who the true disposed ones are, so as to invest them with the prerogatives that are needed for a work so holy that I, God, so much love that I, God, want these souls to do. You see what Jesus is saying? He's planned for us to be alive at this time. He's planned for us to embrace this gift, to work with Louisa so that the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. But I must also say to you, woe to those who are opposed. Woe to those who might place obstacles to this great gift of the divine will. You, however, do not move from anything, not even from one comma of that which is needed to prepare the kingdom of my divine will, so that on my part and on your part, Louisa, and now ours, by doing what is needed to give this great good to humanity, nothing may be lacking on our part. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, nothing can be lacking. So that as soon as humanity disposes themselves, humanity may find everything in place and all that which is needed. It's happening. Everything is ready for anybody who wants it. The kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. My daughter, the kingdom of my redemption and that of my will are so linked together that they hold hands, almost have the same lot because of human ingratitude. That means, again, at this point, you have 8 out of 8 billion, you have 1 billion Catholic. Most of those that are Catholic are in name only. So because of human ingratitude. But one who must give, one who must form a good so great, should not pay attention to this nor stop. It is necessary that we do complete works so that nothing may be lacking on our part, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, so that souls may dispose themselves. Souls may learn to find everything that is needed to receive the kingdom of my will. It's in the book of heaven. It's all there. My daughter, look how tightly I hold in my arms those who must occupy themselves with the writings of my adorable will. As soon as I see some little disposition in them to occupy themselves with the writings, I take them in my arms to infuse in them what is needed for a work so holy. Therefore, Louisa, courage. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. We were born for this time. God is with us. 524, 826, 1928. Oh, if souls knew the great good that I am preparing, the surprises of love and the unheard of graces, how much more they would, more attentive they would be. If you only knew how quick, this is coming very soon. You would be more attentive to reading the book of heaven. The devil tries to convince you that he doesn't exist. And if he can't convince you of that, he tries to convince you that hell doesn't exist. And if he can't convince you of that, he tells you you got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. No, we haven't got it. Time has now come to an end. Our lady said 76 years ago, 40 days after Louisa died, unheard of graces are coming. Again, if you knew this, you would be more attentive. You would put everything out of your way to focus on this book of books, this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of love, Jesus calls it. He says, and those who know about my divine will, how they would lay down their lives. This is what I think God is asking. Why? To fling them into the midst of the world, so that creatures may dispose themselves to receive such a great good. In fact, the knowledges, the truths, the lessons that I have written to you, Louisa, in the book of heaven, have the virtue of helping to facilitate the human dispositions to receive a good so great. God is doing this. God is doing this. All we have to do is get out of the way and let God do it. But the human ingratitude is always the same. Instead of preparing themselves, they think of everything else. they hurl themselves into sin. Let's just think of Sunday. Keep holy the Sabbath and the week will go well. You make Saturday, you make Sunday another Saturday. It's not going to look good on your resume, number one, but you're going to have misery the whole week. Keep holy the Lord's day. Give back Sunday to the Lord. It's his day. It's not a day for sports. 5:24, 9:5, 19:28. So the soul who lives, the soul operates in my divine fiat, gives us, triune God, the occasion to make our sea rise, this ocean of love, and gives us, triune God, the field to flood the earth and the heavens with love. And since it is the divine will that flows, it disposes the souls to ask for its kingdom. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Why are you walking? I'm walking in the divine will. Why are you mowing the lawn? I'm mowing the lawn in the divine will. You're asking Jesus, may the kingdom come, always continuous, never ending. We feel that the creature who lives in our divine will calls back the feasts, calls back the amusements, calls back of the games of the beginning of creation with her God. Paradise. Everything's going to become paradise. New heavens and a new earth, the new Jerusalem. 5:24, 9:8, 28. There is not one sacrifice you have made that shall not have its value and its precious effects, because everything that is done in my divine will, come divine will, breathe in my breathing, come divine will, beat in my heart beating. Everything that is done in my divine will is to impetrate that it be known. Beg God that the divine will be known, acquires a divine life and a communicative virtue as its nature. See, you're giving the divine will to all of humanity by saying, come divine will, breathe in my breathing, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Come divine will, dance in my dancing, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. This explosion of I love you is going to the throne of God. What it does, it impetrates, it calls the divine will to come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says this, in such a way as to communicate to others the divine life and the divine virtue it possesses, so much so that everything you have done, everything that you have suffered is present in that moment, the eternal now of God before God. And impetrative act to obtain that the creature disposes of themselves, that God concede a good so great, that the kingdom of the God is be established on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to witness it. We are going to witness it. So God is asking us, are you ready for what I'm going to do? It's going to happen. He says, as soon as I find the souls who want this more than anything, I will give it to the world, which means he hasn't found anybody yet. He's asking us, will you be the ones that will call the kingdom of God on earth as it is heaven, one with Louisa, so that the reign of Jesus and Mary might be on earth as it is in heaven. 5:24, 9:10, 19:28. Wanting to restore again the kingdom of my divine will, I, God, feel within me, the Lord Jesus says, a necessity to love, to manifest the first epoch of creation, the first period in the life of Adam. So here, this is what he says to Louisa. Louisa, I want you to go back to the Garden of Eden. That's why she had a garden. And I think this is what God is asking of us, that we have a garden. It can be a porch garden. It can be a little plant that you're growing. But go back to the garden. Go back to the first epoch of creation. Go back to the first period of the life of Adam. Witness God, the Holy Spirit, breathing on the ground, breathing into the dust. And coming out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. Jesus says, I want you to witness this. I want you to see how much love I had breathing into this dirt, life, image and likeness of God. So Adam, the first human, can begin to reign on earth as it is in heaven, as God originally planned. I want it so that other souls come to know this good that is so great, what God has done. Breathed into dust making the dust his children, breathing into that dust the image and likeness of God. Jesus says, I want you to go back there. See, there's no time or space with the divine will. You can go back to the Garden of Eden. You can go back to Bethlehem. You can go back to when Jesus was born. You can go back to Nazareth. You can go back to Cana. I love going to Cana. It's wonderful to see the wedding feast, the first miracle. And what does Jesus do with the wedding feast? He makes 150 gallons of wine. Just showing you that, you know, he knows us and he loves us. And he doesn't want us drunk, but he wants us to be happy. That's what it says, wine puts a smile on mankind's face. It's God is in charge. He's got great plans. He's inviting us to his wedding feast, which is our wedding feast. Go back to the first period of the life of Adam, where the glory that Adam received in heaven by virtue of heaven. The other virtues come to know a good so great, they will dispose themselves and long for, beg God for, the divine fiat on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 24, 9, 12, 21, 19, 28. I shall lay siege to the human will. Do you see what God's got planned? He's going to win. He's victorious. I'm now going to lay siege to the human will. What's your human will? Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid every near occasion of sin. I'm going to lay siege to that, Jesus says. Your human will, your fallen human nature. Even though I have redeemed you, I'm now going to sanctify you. I shall destroy that which serves to nourish your human will. All evil is going to be gone. And therefore, many chastisements shall occur that shall be nothing other than the siege that I, God, lay to all that is human, in such a way that tired and disillusioned souls shall feel free the need for my divine will to reign in their midst. God, he's bringing us back. He said, I want you to see Adam's life before he fell. That's what I want to give back to you. Are you tired yet? Are you disillusioned yet? Do you feel the need for the divine fiat to reign yet? Then you haven't gone through enough yet. Jesus says, you got to want this with your whole heart, mind, and soul. So he says, as soon as the divine will sees that the souls long for the divine will and shall take dominion, it shall take dominion in those souls. Remember dominion? We were all fooled by it before. Not this dominion. The dominion shall provide them with everything in abundance and shall render all souls happy. Therefore, you have no concerns. Don't worry. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, no sin. Nothing. I know how to dispose all the events in order to obtain the intent, Jesus says. I know how to dispose everything. Get ready for what I'm going to do, Jesus says. It can be the easy way or it can be the hard way. It can be the divine mercy or divine justice. We can have the, as Our Lady has said, the triumph of her Immaculate Heart soon, or we could go through what Our Lady of Akita prophesies, fire from heaven. Either way, the kingdom is coming. We could do it the easy way or the hard way. Jesus says, I know how to dispose all the events in order to obtain the intent. He's such a good God. He loves us so much. My daughter, just as the light of the sun with one single blow of light gives light to the whole, to all of humanity, in such a way, that same instant with one alone of its acts, it gives light to the gaze, to the mouth, to the hands, to the step, to everything. So when Jesus is now saying, I'm going to show you the difference between what I did with humanity what I did with the saints. Let's look at Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa spent 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament on her knees before going to the street and picking up the babies that were dying and bringing them to the orphanage. She did this every day, brought a baby in one at a time. The divine will, Jesus says, it's different. He says, with one single blow of the light, it gives light to the whole creation in such a way, in that same instant, one act alone gives light, the gate to the mouth, to the hands, to the steps, to everything. The same thing done in my most holy divine will. When you pray in the divine will, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, it's not just your family. It's not just your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. It's all of humanity, from Adam to the last man. That's what God is asking. Are you willing to enter into the single act of God? He says, are you willing to let God do this in you? God is calling you to his image and likeness. That means to do what God does. The same thing for the acts of my done in my divine will. Since they are children of light of my divine will, with one single act, it can make light for all of humanity. It can extend everywhere. Okay? So when you pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, and you say, Lord Jesus, beat in my heart beating with this divine I love you that you give to the Father, you give let rain in me, you breathe in my breathing, you beat in my heart beating. I want to do this in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future, to say to you, Lord, with every heartbeat, I love you, I love you, I love you. That's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God, not just you, but all of humanity, because this is with one single act, it makes light for everyone. It extends everywhere. So God hears everyone saying, I love you with every heartbeat that every soul ever had, even the souls of the babies in the wombs that never were born. I love you. I love you. I love you. This divine I love you is an explosion of love to the throne of God. Well, what does that do? It brings the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with your voice. God hears all of humanity with your voice, because it's Jesus in you that's praying. It's Jesus in you that's calling the divine will. You're one with him as he lived his life on earth, his holy humanity, the exterior life, and now the interior life. Same with the Blessed Mother. You're one with the new Adam and the new Eve. You're calling this divine will on earth as Our Lady did, one with Jesus. It makes light for everyone and everything. It extends everywhere. And Jesus says, because it is a virtue of property that the light of my divine will possesses within itself. So that one single act can give light to everyone, past, present, and future. So it's repairing. When you say to the Lord, when I hear things on the news, I say to the Lord, I'm really sorry, Lord, for this, not only for this, but for all my sins, for all the sins of all humanity. And we kneel before you and say, Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us. May your divine will reign in us as if, I want to repair and redo, as if this act never happened. God goes, good. The face of the earth is being transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated. That's the divine will. And then you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. The face of the earth is being redone by the little children, the holy divine will. Everything's being repaired. Your family's being repaired. Your neighbors are being repaired. Your nation's being repaired. The world is being repaired. That single act enters into everyone and everything. He says, and if there can be a difference, he says, it is takes on the part of those who receive it. The souls who are disposed can take that good, take that light and profit from it. The souls that do not want to be disposed or are not disposed, even though they feel that within themselves they're full of light, cannot take the good that the divine will contains. So this disposition is important. A lot of people say, I mean, I've heard people say to me, you know, during the time of confession, well, I don't really sin. Let me kneel down and adore you. You know, it's like, no, we all sin and we all have to confess our sins. The unforgivable sin basically is the sin not confessed, the sin that is hidden. Blessed be Father, for I've sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this any longer. I want to be free of my human will. I want the divine will to reign in me. I want to live in the kingdom of God on earth as it is heaven. God goes, good. Show me what you're going to do. Prove it. So the proving is to be taught. Okay, now who reads the catechism? It's a good thing to begin with. Who reads sacred scripture? It's a good thing to begin with. But what's the divine will? The divine will helps us who are ignorant of the catechism, ignorant of sacred scripture, to learn about who this Jesus is, who this Mother Mary is, who this little newborn is. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming to the earth that expands our understanding of the catechism, expands our understanding of sacred scripture, expands our understanding and love of Jesus and Mary. The soul that's disposed can take the good of the light and profit from it. Those that are not disposed cannot take the good that it contains. So Jesus is saying this disposition is what he's looking for. What is our disposition? Do we keep holding the Sabbath? I mean, what's our disposition for Sunday? What's our disposition for when Jesus says, can you spend 1 hour with me? What's your disposition when Our Lady says, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and attend First Saturdays? Where's your disposition? Oh, I'm too busy. No. It's like you have to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. You have to. Because he's going to teach you how to see in all of creation, his divine, I love you. And then he's going to show you in all of redemption, his and Our Lady's divine, I love you through the blood, the tears, the sighs, the sorrows that both of them have gone through. Jesus has plans and he needs us to cooperate. He really, really does. He wants us to cooperate. He really, really does. So he says very, very clearly, it happens to as to the Son. The Son gives light to all of humanity, and no one can say to me, Jesus says, that it does not give its light. Since all can receive this light as they please, he says, it provokes no jealousy. However, there can be a difference if not all those who receive it make profit of it. Not all those who receive it make profit of the Son or use it in the same way. And he says, such is my gift to the divine will. The acts done in it are always light, but those who profit from this light are the ones who are disposed. Again, disposed to do what? To read, to study, to put this into practice. He says, if you do this, watch what I'm going to do. Hell disappears for you. Heaven begins to reign in you, little by little. It's not full, it's not the totality yet, but it's little by little. Volume 24, 9, 24, 28. One who prays disposes himself. That which is obtained by praying is appreciated. It is kept safe. So if you're praying, now, again, if you want to learn how to pray, get the rounds. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Mary prayed. This is the way they taught Louisa to pray. He tells Louisa from volume 16 to volume 36, learn to pray the rounds. Okay, round of creation is to begin to see, hear, smell, taste, touch all the I love yous around you. He says, if you pray, you obtain by praying is appreciated. which you obtain by praying is appreciated and is kept safe. And since the knowledge of my divine will, the possession of his kingdom, is not an individual good, but a general one, in order to obtain it, I would have you pray for everyone. I would have you pray in the name of everyone, past, present, and future. I would have you pray of each thought, each word, each act of every human being, so that you may form the right and our divine paternity, and all may receive the kingdom of our fiat, as well as their dispositions within them, to be able to preserve it. So here Jesus is saying, I want you to be one with all of humanity, as I am, as my mother is. I want you to embrace everything, all the prayers. So when you pray, you always pray in the name of everyone and everything. He says, so Our Lady, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, did, it was to impetrate, to beg the kingdom of redemption. And she prayed with a sigh, with an act for everyone and for each one. She, Our Lady, let no one escape her. And by this, Our Lady gave to each one the right to be able to receive Jesus as their Redeemer. And he says, so I, Jesus, did to redeem them. So what I want from you, Louisa, is to do now everything for the kingdom of my divine fiat. You're the one, Louisa, that's going to lead the charge. You're the little newborn. I've given this to you, Louisa, that you bring all of humanity with you into the kingdom. All those who want it, all those that are disposed. 525, 10, 10, 1928. My daughter, I bless you with my whole heart. Even more, I bless my whole very divine will in you. I bless your thoughts. I bless your heartbeat. I bless your breaths, that you may think always about my divine will, that you may breathe the divine will continuously, that my will alone be your heartbeat. You see how Jesus wants us to live. What he did with her, God's doing it with us. I bless you with my whole heart, Jesus says. I bless you with my very divine will in you. I bless your thoughts in you. I bless your breaths in you. I bless your heartbeats in you, that you may always think about my divine will, that you may always breathe the divine will continuously, that my divine will alone may be your heartbeat. And for love of you, I bless all human wills, that they may dispose themselves, Louisa, to receive the life of my eternal volition like you did. That's what's happening. Heaven is now reigning in souls in the divine will. And all that Jesus is asking is, will you let me do this? This is what I breathed into Adam, the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. Now the likeness of God is going to begin. And this is what it's about. Jesus blessing us, blessing his very divine will in us, blessing our thoughts, words, and deeds, that we always think about Jesus, can breathe Jesus. The divine will alone is our heartbeat. And he says, for love of you, Louisa, I bless all of humanity. I dispose them, that they may dispose themselves to receive the life of my eternal volition. The pain of my privation prepares the place for my new life. So here, this is, how many long for Jesus like Louisa? What does Louisa say? She says, Jesus, my love, my life, my all, I can't breathe without you. Jesus, my life, my love, my law, my life, I can't live without you. I want to be with you. How many feel that way so much that they go and spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament? For I want to, you, Lord, to prepare the place for my new life and dispose my soul to listen, to read, to study, to listen to the lessons, the truths, and comprehend these important lessons, comprehend these truths that you're speaking to me on your divine fiat. If Jesus said, if I did not deprive you of me so very often, you would not have had the new surprises of your Jesus and his many new teachings that he gives to you each and every day. So he says, I'm waiting for you in the tabernacle. I'm waiting for you. Now, again, if you don't have a church around with exposition John Paul II wanted perpetual adoration in every parish. He said this in the 80s. What would be important is find Jesus on the internet. Find perpetual adoration. Go to a chapel, you know, and spend your time with our Eucharistic Lord. If you can't get out of the house, God has given us the internet so that we can be with him if we wish. And again, new surprises of love, new surprises, teachings that Jesus is going to give us. 525, 12, 16, 19, 28. The nine excesses of my love, and we read those especially around Christmas, manifested with so much love, so much tenderness, so much simplicity, form the prelude of my many divine lessons that I was to give you, Louisa, and now to us about my divine fiat. So go back to those nine excesses of love. All right, and he says, why? In order to form my kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Now, by their being read, my love is renewed, my love is redoubled. So he says, don't you want then that my love being redoubled, overflow outside and invest more hearts so that as a prelude, they may dispose themselves for the lessons of my most holy divine will to make it known and reign in them, in their families, in their nation, in the world. So Jesus is saying, I want this redoubled. So he says, how do you get people to learn about the divine will? It's the nine excesses of love, the Christmas novena. It's powerful. And he says, it will get souls. If people don't want to read, Louisa, well, give them the nine excesses of love. What do you think of this? And Jesus will touch their hearts to prepare them for this great book of the divine will. Volume 25, 113, 1929. My daughter Louisa, the kingdom of redemption and the kingdom of my divine fiat holds hands. And since it is also universal good, such that if they want it so, all can enter into the divine will, it is necessary that many know the news about the divine will and be conceived, and it be conceived in their minds, be conceived in the words, be conceived in the works and hearts of many, so that through prayers, desires, and a holier life, they may dispose themselves to receive the kingdom of my divine will into their midst. Kingdom of redemption, kingdom of divine fiat, hold hands. It's a universal good, a Catholic good. And if they want it, they can enter into it. Therefore, it's necessary that many know the news about the divine fiat. See, it's to, you know, help people understand the book of heaven. What I suggest is on a birthday card, find something that Jesus tells Louisa and put it in the birthday card to your loved ones, or an anniversary, or even a funeral. This is what Jesus says. And let them know the news of this. The book of heaven is, there was a time all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. Now we've got the book. How great is our God? Through prayers and desires and a holier life, it'll dispose them to receive the kingdom of my divine will into their midst. If the news is not divulged, my manifestation shall not act as trumpeters, nor shall the knowledges about my divine fiat fly from mouth to mouth, forming the conception of the divine will in the minds, the prayers, the sighs, the desires of humanity. A whole new beginning is coming for humanity with this book of heaven. 525, 227, 1929. Now, the effects of my divine fiat are given to those who do my divine will. That's 1 through volume 10. Who adore its dispositions, who bear with patience what it does. God is, he's leading us little by little. That's the joy. Little by little, he's doing this. By doing so, the creature recognizes that there is this supreme will. And by seeing itself recognized, it does not deny to the soul its admirable effects. On the other hand, the soul who must live in the divine will must possess within herself the whole life of the divine will, not just the effects. So he's showing us that the saints had the effects of the divine will. To live the divine will is to possess the divine will within you as the whole life not just the effects, but with the life of all the effects of my most holy divine will. Do you see what God is calling us to? It's this new and divine way of holiness. All the effects of the divine will is what the saints went through. Now Jesus says, I want you to live with all the effects, producing this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that the saints only dreamed of. So doing the will of God is the way to live like a saint. That's saintly, good, and holy. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will is to live in the divine will, volume 11 through 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. This totality of the true life of Jesus, the totality of the life of Mary begins in us. And the more that we do our acts and arounds, the more this explosion of divine I love you is given to all the world. So we'll end here for the next hour and 15 minutes and be back then. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.